Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thank you all for your insightful and most relevant comments and questions. I think
that I am not surprised that
I am not surprised, at least, that what we report based on the data and what the analysis shows is not always popular in every corner of the world. My reflection, I'm a scientist, I'm not a diplomat. I do not have to and will never take political concerns in the analysis I do or the analysis I report. We report what the data and the analysis shows. Of course, it was not popular when according to our measures and the most voluminous and detailed and nuanced sets of 500 measures of various aspects of democracy and human rights and rule of law, when they showed a few years back that Hungary could no longer be classified as a democracy, it was not popular. And that's also the case with some other countries, and that doesn't make me surprised. But I just report what data shows. I think another reflection I have is that at least in science, we try and avoid using the same word or concept for very different things. And if democracy is going to mean anything also in the future, it has to be associated with something that joins every meaning of the word that it's used for. If anything can be called democracy, then democracy as a concept and word loses its meaning, for us at least, as scientists. And there are certain minimal requirements that have to do with political competition in free and fair elections and freedom of association and freedom of speech and freedom of the media that are necessary for the people to express their preferences and for those preferences to be translated into policy eventually. Without those minimum requirements, then people's preferences can not be expressed, and then the people are not ruling, which is the meaning of the word. Now, on the specific issue of conflict, I agree that it's very important to also in a forum like this capture and discuss the nuances and the different aspects of the relationship between democracy and conflict, violent conflict. As you noted, there are also many different types of violent conflicts. Some are between states, and they can be of different natures, and some of them are between states and non-state actors. And some of them are between two non-state actors, as we have in northern Syria with ISIS and the SDF. So definitely there are lots to be said for that. But the old theory of Immanuel Kant about the democratic peace has been found, has gotten support in so many studies now that it's, as far as I can see, very, very robust. On the domestic and international misinformation spread of disinformation, it's true that democracies also do it. They, on average, do it to a lower degree than autocracies, but the correlation, as you point out, and as I think the graph showed, is more or less the same. Democracies who spread domestic misinformation domestically also do it internationally, just like autocracies. Autocracies, on average, do it more. What can we do about it? I think it's the big question that I don't have an answer to, other than that we have to do something about it. I told Madam Chair something I've said many times now in the last couple of years. Democracy dies with the lies. Democracy requires a foundation of truth to stand on. If political leaders and their support troops on social media and elsewhere can spread any form of lies. I didn't do that. I didn't say that, even though it's on video. I did this, even though you didn't. And be believed. Then the whole electoral accountability, what we talk about with inclusive and participatory and accountable institutions, loses its meaning because there's no accountability anymore. Accountability disappears with disinformation and lies. Democracy dies with the lies. How we should do it, what is the silver bullet or the sets of silver bullets to fix that problem, I don't have an answer to. I just know we need to do it. Otherwise, democracy cannot survive long term. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you all for listening.